कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। मथुरा वृंदावन धाम की जय। मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। कलयुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll chant together. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayet nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki krishnaya vasudevaya devaki nandanaya cha नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश। नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सर्वशास्त्राब्धि पीयूषा सर्ववेदैक सत्फला सर्व सिद्धांत रत्नाढ्य सर्वलोक एक दृक्प्रदा सर्व भागवत प्राण श्रीमद् भागवतम् प्रभो कली ध्वांतो दितादित्य श्री कृष्ण परिवर्तिता। स्त्रीणां तु शतरूपाहम् पुंसाम स्वयंभुवो मनुः नारायणो मुनीनां च कुमारो ब्रह्मचारिणां स्त्रीणां तु शतरूपाहम् पुंसाम स्वयंभुवो मनुः नारायणो मुनीनां च कुमारो ब्रह्मचारिणां स्त्रीणां तु शतरूपाहम् पुंसाम स्वयंभुवो मनुः नारायणो मुनीनां च कुमारो ब्रह्मचारिणां Matajis, Istrinam, among ladies, tu, indeed, Shatarupa, Shatarupa, Aham, I am, Pumsam, among male personalities, Swayambhuva Manuhu, the great Prajapati Swayambhuva Manu, Narayanaha, the sage Narayan. Muninam, among saintly sages. Cha, also, Kumaraha, Sanat Kumar, Brahmacharinam, among Brahmacharis. Translation. Among ladies, I am Shatrupa, and among male personalities, I am her husband, Swayambhuva Manu. I am Narayan among the sages, and Sanat Kumar among Brahmacharis. Reading text 26 as well, since this verse doesn't have a purport. Dharmanam asmi sannyasah, shemanam abhirmatihi, guhyanam sunritam maunam, mithunanam ajastvaham. Translation purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Among religious principles, I am renunciation, and of all types of security, I am consciousness of the eternal soul within. Of secrets, I am pleasant speech and silence, and among sexual pairs, I am Brahma. Purport. One who realizes the eternal soul within no longer fears any material situation, and thus is qualified to accept the renounced order of life, sannyas. Certainly, fear is one of the great miseries of material life, therefore the gift of fearlessness is very valuable and represents Lord Krishna. Both in ordinary pleasant speech and silence, very few confidential things are revealed, and thus diplomacy and silence are both aids to secrecy. Lord Brahma is prominent among sexual pairs because the original beautiful couple, Swayambhuva Manu and Shatrupa, emerged from Lord Brahma's body, as explained in chapter 12 of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. So, seeking blessings of all the assembled devotees to speak something on this verse. Krishna is explaining to Uddhavji his various opulences. It's kind of difficult for Krishna because he's the best. You know, generally, when we write our CV or resume, it's at some point you will end because okay, fine. Beyond that, let us be honest. But for Krishna, there is no end. In Gita also, we see it was an emergency situation, so he could not give a very explained. He could not explain it very elaborately. But in the 11th canto, he's a little more relaxed. Everything is done. He's about to depart. So he's kind of giving a little more details, but it still will not be sufficient. So he's kind of giving tertiary information. Okay, I'm this also. It's like, "Tereko ye pata hai kya? Ye bhi mera hai. Ye pata hai, ye bhi mera hai." So it's like, and there could be many things beyond the purview and understanding of living entities in this material world which Krishna is not even mentioning. He's not talking about opulences beyond this universe. It's actually, even they belong to him. So just to show compassion is, "Theek hai, isko itna hi samajh mein aayega, itna hi bolta hu." Otherwise, unnecessarily he may get. Not everybody can hear someone's glories. When you have no envy towards a person, hearing glories of somebody intensifies your relationship with him. Your kind of sambandha becomes stronger when you hear about someone's glories, but whom you don't envy, you love. And that knowledge of the opulences further leads to deepening of love between the two personalities. But when there is envy, it further aggravates envy when you hear about someone's opulences. So mother, when he hears about her son doing something incredible, she goes on repeating everywhere. Faster than Facebook also, right? She goes on repeating everywhere, "Gharwalo ko batao, isko batao, usko batao." And every time she speaks, her happiness increases. But that may not happen with somebody else in her relationships and a similar position as she is. Her envy might increase because of seeing the opulences. So, before understanding Krishna's sweetness, his greatness needs to be understood as well, so that we don't take sweetness cheaply, but we understand the sweetness as something very valuable. And sweetness is not given direct access to. Like, for example, if you go to someone's home, a big personality, right? A very big personality. So first you get exposed to his opulence. So you are walking or you're driving into his driveway. So you see the beautiful gardens, and then there are beautiful Italian or Greek sculptures, and then there are big fountains. You have not yet met the person, but you are being prepared for, "Oh my God, I'm going to meet somebody really big." That's the reason why the temples used to be so opulent in the past, that you kind of get into a, we all get into a consciousness, something big is happening. And even if you go now, like old government buildings, they're very grand. Grand corridors, grand pillars. It's not that people are so tall that you have to create such huge corridors. But to give you an experience of grandeur, take seriously the person whom you're going to meet. Be conscientious. And generally, conditioned soul, like all of us, we get impacted quite easily with greatness, then sweetness. That's how kind of we operate initially. So initially we get accustomed to his opulence, then you enter his drawing room and you see all kind of ancient relics. Some rusted spoon which might cost $1 million, and then something here and something there, and it's like totally off. You know, you may not even understand why this is here, why do you need all these relics here, but that's his opulence, that's his grandeur. That's his grandeur. And then gradually you are introduced to his servants, and then you see how the servants are so nicely dressed. The cooks are so nicely dressed. Everybody has a uniform. Everybody has a certain way of demeanor. Everybody has a certain way of talking. You understand, "Oh my God, you better be reasonable here because you're going to meet a very important person." So generally, we are not directly given access into the inner chambers of a big person's home. That's where the sweetness pervades. But the external, the opulence is because the sambandha is not so strong. The transition from greatness to sweetness basically depends on how intense is your relationship. Because the danger of exposing sweetness to somebody who is unknown is that he might take that relationship for granted. And then there could be offenses which will work against the person who wanted to be close to you. So generally people don't great, you know, even in the world here we see people who are big and influential. You can't go up to them and ask them for their cell number. Can I have your phone number? No, you can't. You know, they don't allow you to come very close for various reasons. But spiritually we can see that Krishna, you know, takes time, introduces the jiva to greatness so that he starts understanding, his sambandha gyan is very strong, and then the sweetness part is exposed or kind of introduced. So what I was thinking of speaking here, because these opulences, so I'll speak on Prabhupada's last line, this purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada mentioning about the appearance of Swayambhu, Manu and Shatrupa from the 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto. So I'll take that as a theme and see what lessons we can drive for our own personal life as sadhakas through that whole pastime. So I'm going to talk about 5 impediments that anyone faces while in execution of a seva, execution of a service, execution of a task, execution of a project. So Maitreya, after describing the time factor that happens in the 11th chapter, 10th and 11th chapter, calculation of time from the atom. And it's kind of a very, you know, interesting turnaround, because the way he explains time using analogy of matter, it's quite interesting how scientifically he explains. And he begins to explain the creation done by Brahma, which is called Visarga. And Brahmaji confronts many obstacles in the execution of this service. So this chapter begins with how Brahmaji first of all creates 5 kinds of ignorance. Sasarj agre andhatamisram athatamisramadikrit mahamoham cha moham cha tamascha jnana vrittaya. So Brahmaji first created tamas. Tamas means ignorance. Ignorance of the swarupa of the jiva. That ignorance which makes him forget who he was in the spiritual world. Moha is egoism or identification of self with the body. Once you forget who you are, then you need an identity here. So then that is moha. We start identifying with matter and material elements. Mahamoha is attachment. Means applying possessiveness to objects of enjoyment. Now, this is me, then this is mine. That is mahamoha. First you are in ignorance, thinking you are this. And then you also start saying, this is also mine. So this is mahamoha. Even further, you know, level of ignorance he's saying. Then he says, tamisra, hatred. Hatred means because he is also saying this is mine and I'm also saying this is mine. So he snatches it from my hand. So it's hatred. How can he take it? It has to be with me. So there is hatred. There is appearance of anger when one's enjoyment is obstructed. And after that, there is andhatamisra. In case I get it, then I get totally stooped in enjoying it. And that is practically a stage of unconsciousness. And he says that, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that ultimately the jiva in such a situation means death. On the Tamisra. So Brahmaji creates these 5 kinds of ignorance because the jiva has to have them in order to fulfill his various kinds of material desires. But he's not happy. So the word says, drishtva papiyasim srishtim natmanam bahumanyata bhagavad dhyana putena manasanyam tato srajat. So he was seeing such a creation, Brahma did not feel much pleasure in his activity. So this is the first obstacle that Brahmaji is facing, is displeasure in service. He is not happy doing what he was told to do. Happens with all of us also. Not happy with what he was doing. Prabhupada says, although he created the different influences of nations, Lord Brahma was not satisfied in performing such a thankless task, but he had to do it because most of the conditioned souls wanted it to be so. He didn't want it, but the conditioned souls were behaving in such a manner that he had to do it, and therefore he was not very happy. So this happens in our life as devotees as well, that one may have to do something that one may not like or may not be as per one's nature. pretty debatable topic. Engaging as per one's nature. But the principle is we have to do the needful. Whatever is necessary that needs to be done has to be done. However, if you look at it, Brahmaji did not continue with that aspect of creating ignorances after ignorances or creating suffering conditions for the soul. That was then given charge to Yamaraji. But now there was nobody else to do it, nobody else to create it, so he had to do it. So that is the point that he had to do the needful. So I remember Gaurgopal Prabhu was once mentioning in his Bhagavatam class about three kind of things that we have to do, and life is about balancing these three. He said, in life we have things that we like to do. And when we do things that we like to do, it creates inspiration. Then we have things which we have to do. And when we do things which we have to do, it creates purification. You may like it or don't like it, but it creates purification. And then there are things which we are told to do that creates realization. And he said, life has to be a blend of all these three. And going through even gave percentage in one of his classes. He said, if you have 30 to 40% of things which you like to do, it's fair deal. It's good. Because conditioned soul is such that even if we get an opportunity to do what we get to do all the time, we'll get bored. Because mind is like that, it is chanchala. Our tastes currently are on a mental plane. They don't come from a spiritual plane. Therefore, even if we get to do what we like to do, we'll get bored actually. Therefore, by adding the element of things which we don't like to do and we have to do, we keep the flavor of what we like to do still fresh. And still it is like interesting, okay. Still it seems interesting. So similarly, we have to do certain things in an institution. For that matter, even while presenting Krishna consciousness, we may want to give Krishna consciousness in a very direct manner, in a very rasic manner, the way we relish. But the world may not be ready for that. So even though you don't like it, you have to tweak your presentation so that the people whom you are catering to understand. Because if you may have we may have the best of the message, but if it is not taken from the perspective of the person, it's useless actually. So we have to, it's not a matter of, you know, this is the only way I like to present Krishna consciousness. But if there's nobody going to take it, then what do you do with it? Then what do we go to? And then that's how isolated islands get created. Initially, you know, people start leaving you, and then you find yourself, you're all alone in the island and nobody wants to come to you. Then, you know, self-doubt even starts appearing that maybe I'm practicing something wrong. So it's interesting that even though we may not, like one senior leader was mentioning that speaking to a certain crowd of people, he said speaking this basic philosophy is not what I like to do. But that's what they need. I need to speak in this language so that people understand. And initially you have to present Krishna consciousness in a manner that people understand so that they can eventually come to that fold where you can give them what you like. First you have to give them what they like. And then so that you can bring them to the fold where they accept what you like also. Of course there is a catch. Because if you don't have something which you like really strongly, then you may start liking what they like. And instead of they coming this side, you go that side, and it's kind of becomes a difficult situation. Another thing is, even while executing instructions, one is not guaranteed satisfaction. It's interesting. Brahmaji is creating on behalf of Krishna. Still, satisfaction was not there immediately. But if you continue, one is guaranteed purification, reciprocation, and ultimately elevation. These things will come. But immediately if we expect satisfaction out of our services, may or may not happen. That is not guaranteed. But the other aspects of purification, reciprocation and elevation is guaranteed if we steadily perform our services. So how do we sustain then? How do we go about doing things which we may not like, but still doing the needful? So Brahmaji was, no, this verse is saying, Bhagavad Dhyana Putena. He immediately took shelter of Krishna and he kept himself pure by meditation upon Krishna. So this is an important aspect of how Lord Brahma kept his seva and sadhana separately important. He did not just give importance to sadhana and neglected the seva, or just give importance to seva and neglected the sadhana. Both had to be parallelly executed. Because our sadhana and seva, they complement each other. They are not replacements of each other. They have to be complementary, not replacing each other. We cannot say, oh, I don't like chanting Hare Krishna, so okay, then maybe I do this seva much more. Now, there are certain foundational principles which as a practicing devotee, which are non-negotiable items, which we have to perform in order to stay moving forward. So, if there is only sadhana and no seva, no active service, then one may become superficial. One may even have his senses being agitated. One may start imitating. And ultimately one doesn't get any realizations. So if somebody is only sticking to sadhana but not doing any practical service, he may run into the fold of being superficial. And thus there are no realizations that may happen. Right? I'm talking about the sadhaka platform like all of us are in. Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj can chant all day long. Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj could chant all day long. Haridas Thakur could chant all day long, but if you and me were to imitate, then we may not survive. And there are examples in the past. Sensuous desires may come. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote this beautiful poem, Vaishnav K, just demonstrating this principle. And if there is only seva and no sadhana, then one may either get burnt out, if he is not successful, and if he is successful, he may become proud and puffed up, considering himself to be the doer of the activities. And that sometimes happens in the demigod realms. They really get too puffed up because of their achievements, and they're just atishay indriyotsavas, there's just so much enjoyment there, there is not much sadhana happening. It is not that 33 crore demigods come in a japa circle and chant Hare Krishna. There's enjoyment from morning till evening. And because of no such specific kind of sadhana, then it kind of gets you over, especially when you're successful. Especially when you're successful. Success, somebody said, failure is easy to handle, but success only few know. Only few people can know how to handle success and grow in spite of the success. Although you're successful, still you continue to grow. That is requires a certain level of realization. So sadhana and seva is like eating and digesting. We have heard it several times. So if you're only eating and not digesting, you get indigestion. And if you are not eating, only there is fire in the stomach, there are ulcers. So both cases, you don't grow healthy. There have to be balance between your seva and sadhana, and you are the best judge, because nobody knows you better than you. You know what quantity of seva, what quantity of sadhana you can actually, you know, handle, and if you are honest, we strike a balance. So Brahmaji then creates the four Kumaras. After purifying himself, Bhagavad Dhyana Putena, after purifying himself by remembering Krishna, he creates these four illustrious personalities. And he gave each of these sons various systems of philosophy. Sankhya, Yoga, Vairagya and Tapasya. These four limbs of pious Vedic life he gave them. And Brahmaji, as soon as they are born, Brahmaji asks all four of them, my dear sons, get married and create progeny. Now please understand, these are very little kids. They're hardly like, they're born, although they're born, they're just 5 years old. Now you don't ask a 5 year old boy to get married and produce progeny. But this is the intensity of Brahma's meditation, of his service. He's so concerned about his service that as soon as the four sons are born, beta, lag jao, help me. And we all know the classic response of the four Kumaras. They said, no, we are not interested in this. Tainaichan moksha dharmanu vasudeva parayana. Because they were vasudeva parayan, they were not interested in the activities of this world. So the beginning of creation is with disobedience. Disobedience for a higher cause. So this is the second obstacle Brahmaji is facing in his service of creating progeny, is disobedience from those very people who are supposed to assist him and serve him. And Brahmaji could not even kind of retaliate, because he understood that actually they were right. Naichan moksha dharmano vasudeva parayana, they are vasudeva parayana, therefore they are not interested in fruitive activities. Perfect. In fact, I am doing this creation for this purpose only, is that people get disinterested in materialistic activities. And here are the boys who are ready. But this task needs to be done. His managerial part and the spiritual authority part was kind of conflicting within him, and that created anger. He knew what they were doing was right, but that also needed to be done. And this conflict led him to frustration because he could not express it. He could not even stop them. So Brahmaji, he becomes angry but does not express it in front of the four Kumaras. So this is interesting that and later on then Rudra is born of this forehead, which is blue and red in color. It's a mix of blue and red because of passion and ignorance he is born. So we may not be vocal about our dissatisfaction in a spiritual community, but it manifests in some form somewhere. It will manifest somewhere. You can't just repress it, you know, in the heart. It will come out somewhere. And Brahmaji is teaching by his example that even though he was dissatisfied, he did not express it. Because it's not, in a Vaishnava community, it's not about just expressing one's emotions. Regardless of how others feel, there has to be conscientious kind of understanding of how it should be presented, that it is well taken. So our emotions and concerns should be processed through the funnel of Vaishnava etiquette. There is a scope of expressing them, but not in a whimsical manner, but through the funnel of Vaishnava Sadachar, Vaishnava etiquette, so that we remain protected. So Rudra is born, and Brahmaji then give him residential places to live. As soon as he is born, he starts crying. He says, give me name, give me place to reside. And Brahmaji said, wait, I'll give you. And he gives him 11 places to reside, 11 names and 11 wives. He's like perfectly satisfied. And Brahmaji, again, as soon as this Rudra is there, he asks them to create progeny. He says, beta, please help me in this project. So Brahmaji was so eager for his seva, for this task, for this project to be done. He was seeking help from anybody who came across. Earlier were highly qualified spiritual personalities. They said, we are not interested. And here there was these Rudras who seemingly were very obedient. But they just didn't know how to do it. So as soon as Rudra created progeny through these 11 wives, all the sons or the children of Rudra, they started devouring the universe which Brahma had till now created. And Brahmaji was fearful. In fact, Brahmaji tells Rudra that your children are about to eat me also. Yaar. Chal kya hai tumhara ye? I told you to just create progeny to help me in creation. You are doing destruction. So please stop. Please stop. So this is the third obstacle Brahmaji is facing, that is disturbance in his service. Initially there was displeasure, he didn't like what he was doing. Then he got people who could really help him, they didn't obey him, they left him. Then people who seemingly were able to help him, they tried also, but they created bigger disturbance. They created a bigger mehiyam than what they created. They totally destroyed the peace of the universe which Brahmaji was creating. So Brahmaji then stops them. He tells them to stop their seva. And he says, begin penances to purify yourself. So he says, you go to forest with all your family members. Thodi bhajan karke aao. I'll call you when you'll be required for devastation. Right now I think you should just move on. So Brahmaji initially was angry. And thus Rudra was born. And his offsprings brought further anger, which bounced back on Brahmaji. So karma is like an echo. You send it out, it comes back to you amplified at times. And especially if it hits you, you also experience it's quite amplified. So it was produced of anger, and then it led to anger only. Therefore Brahmaji had to then tell them, stop everything and just go and perform penances. Purify yourself. On part of the Rudras, It was not just sufficient to be enthusiastic to do the service, but one should also understand the mood of the master. What exactly was the purpose by which Brahma was asking them to create progeny? They were just so enthusiastic, they just started burning everything around them. But that was not Brahma's intention. So competence alone is not sufficient. One should be emotionally aligned with the master in order to produce results which are in consensus with the desires of the master. Just being competent is not sufficient, because if you are just competent and not emotionally aligned, we may doubt the instruction itself. And especially when you are not able to see the dream that your master is seeing, we may doubt the dream, and then we may doubt the dreamer also. And then we are not able to become a part of that vision, and then we just kind of either give up or we, you know, run away from that situation service. So that situation, one has to just competence is not sufficient. One has to be emotionally aligned with the instructions of the master. So Brahmaji did not punish Rudras. It was not that he killed them all. He would have done that, but he did not kill them all. But he rectified them. And he gave them a process by which they can be purified, and further they can be engaged in some service suitable to their dispositions. So Brahmaji here is showing an example of a leader, that how when there was a flaw in the execution of the service, the master takes the responsibility to rectify the situation and give space to his subordinates to rectify their behavior and become eligible to engage in some service in future. No one is rejected in the cosmic sense. No one is rejected. When we reject people, is it because not who they are, but our inability to deal with them. That's when we reject them. Otherwise, an expert master will create a situation protecting the goal, at the same time giving him his space, giving him a process by which he can rectify his behavior and come back to the right path. So that's what Brahmaji did. And after that, Brahmaji creates 10 sons to further the progeny. He's so enthusiastic. He had to create sons so that progeny can be expanded. So he created Marichi from his mind, Atri from his eyes, Angira from his mouth, Pulastya from ears, Pulaha from navel, Kratu from hand, Bhrigu from touch, Vashishtha from breathing, Daksha from his thumb, and Narada from his deliberation, from his contemplation, from his introspection, Naraji is born. Now if you look at all these 10, from the perspective of Brahma's objective of creating progeny, Narad Muni was not going to contribute much. Then why at this stage Brahmaji created Narad Muni, who was not going to contribute to creation of progeny? That was not his goal. It's like 10% loss, right? One of the 10 sons not going to produce. What is going to happen? So Brahmaji understood that the purpose of creation was to help the jiva go back to Krishna. And without devotional service, there was no possibility of doing that. So he created Narad Muni, a personality who will be able to give devotional service to people who will accommodate this whole 14 planetary system, and thereby assist Brahmaji in achieving the purpose of creation, which was to send Jiva back to Godhead. Right? So although apparently Narad Muni was not achieving in terms of Brahma's mission quantitatively, but still he was rendering a highest service by enlightening people. And Brahmaji as a leader planned for the future needs of the community which he was creating. He didn't want to just populate the 14 planetary system and then let them be reckless. He wanted them to actually execute devotional service and perfect his life and go back to Krishna. So as a leader, he was actually thinking, what will the future of this universe would need the most? Narad Muni, devotional service, Abhideya. And even in the heat of execution, Brahmaji did not lose sight of the purpose for which he was erecting that community or erecting that whole universal system. It was very clear, why is this being done? Although this is important now,
But he also had one eye on the future, and he knew this is what will be required in future. That's a visionary. Right? That's a difference between, as they say, a difference between manager and leader. Manager is about here and now. Leader and visionary is about the future. Here and now is okay, but what is the impact in the future? And Brahmaji, being a visionary, he's actually creating Narada Muni right now, which seemingly did not make sense. He seemingly didn't probably was doing anything when all the other 9 brothers were creating. But he knew his role, and he was clear that as time would progress, his role would become more evident. And Brahmaji was also confident about that. So Bhagavatam explains further creations Brahmaji is creating. And then Maitreya Muni suddenly kind of mentions about Brahmaji getting distracted to his own daughter, Vak, with sensuous desires. So that is a fourth obstacle that comes in the life of a sadhaka trying to execute some service, that is distraction. First was displeasure. Second was disobedience. Third was disturbance. Fourth is distraction. And Brahmaji is, for some inconceivable reasons, he is attracted to his daughter Vak. And Maitreya was very hesitant to state this anomaly, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said that this might have happened in some previous kalpa, because Brahmaji heard the Chatushloki Bhagavatam and then Krishna had blessed him that you will never fall after you hear this. Interestingly, it is interesting to see how did the subjects reacted when they see Brahmaji kind of indulging or getting this kind of thought in his mind. So Marichi and all these people, they started imploring, they started kind of requesting Brahmaji to not do this. But in all of these, when all of this was happening, not even once did Marichi and his sons ever doubted the integrity of Brahmaji. They questioned his action, did not doubt the integrity of Brahmaji. Why? Because they have seen what all he had done, what all he was doing, and his character was so pure and pristine. Therefore, their concern was simply to protect his spiritual status. And therefore, they were kind of pointing out that, my dear father, nobody else in the past has ever done this. Although you can do whatever you like, they say, because you are powerful. But because you are in a position where people are going to follow you spiritually, better you avoid this. Better you avoid this. It is not appropriate action as per your position that you are holding. And ultimately they begin to just pray to Krishna that please protect our father, give him good conscience and give him good consciousness. So when we see in our community, sometimes we ourselves are devotees undergoing challenges, struggles, troubles on various levels. Instead of questioning their integrity, we should probably inform them about the anomaly of the action, but more deeper, we should actually pray for the protection of these people, because we understand that they have done so much for Krishna. Just being overwhelmed by a temporary situation should not make us reject their everything else that they have done. And prayers to Krishna did work, and suddenly Brahmaji comes back to his senses, and he's feeling disgusted about what he was about to do, and he's so disturbed that Bhagavatam says he gives up his body. Now Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Brahmaji cannot give up his body before his dviparardha is over. So it is actually his disposition. He gave up his disposition. He gave up, different acharyas give different explanations. Brahmaji initially had a transcendental body, so he gave up transcendental body, and then he accepted the body of Shabda Brahma, of a certain ethereal element in which he continued his creation. But the point is, he gave up his disposition when he was overcome with a sinful inclination. And that body then covered the directions with a dense fog. And Chakravarti Pass says, that's why directions are covered with darkness even today. It is that one mistake of Brahmaji. So we understand that deviation, not exactly deviation, even disturbance in life of somebody very big has impact down the line for a long time to come. Many generations can be affected. And right after this incident, Bhagavatam explains that how suddenly one day Brahmaji is sitting and suddenly Vedas appeared from his mouth. So this is to indicate that please don't misunderstand this personality. He's just showing you what could be the dangers of unrestricted senses. Be careful. But he's not an ordinary person because now Vedas are manifesting from his mouth. So we have to see the whole picture of a person who is performing services in a spiritual movement and not just pick up one fault that he might have accidentally done, but see the bigger picture and give him credit for what he is. When we are overcome with these sinful thoughts, we should reject that disposition by becoming more absorbed in Krishna. Basically, sinful inclination is a sign of devotional vacuum. It is not that practicing devotees conscientiously contemplate sin. But when absorption in Krishna becomes low, these things follow through. And at times, even sincere devotees give in to temptations, not because they like to do it, but because the attempt to resist them is far more treacherous than the guilt of falling into them. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu explains that. And in fact, he gave 3-4 years back, he gave a Bhagavatam class where he mentioned about that when devotees are struggling with sometimes sensual desires, they should actually enhance their absorption in Krishna. That's the way they deal with it. So, like for example, in some of the traditions in the world, some of the oldest traditions in the world, when you get a lusty thought, you're supposed to stop breathing. And I told this to one group of college boys in the hostel. And they said, sir, then we'll die only. We don't even get to breathe. But actually it's a fact. As soon as you get some disturbing thought, I tried it. As soon as you get a disturbing, you stop breathing. Because the mind is totally attached to the false ego and its own possessions and nothing else. No sense object is as dear to the false ego than its own existence. So as soon as his own existence comes into question, he forgets all sensuous desires. Forget it. Saans le pehle. Saans le, jaldi saans le. He will leave all sensual objects, no matter how attractive they are. Right? Even if you're right with them. Because then you understand that actually mind doesn't love anyone. Actually mind doesn't love anyone. Actually this false ego doesn't love anyone. We love people only because they reinforce our idea of false ego. Ultimately we are all very selfish people. We just love ourselves. Right? And in the seventh canto this thing comes up. So Brahmaji tried in so many ways and he was thinking that the increase in population had not been sufficient. So Brahmaji did not go for a vacation after he created the tents and tum samalena mein ja raha hu. He was so responsible. He said, this whole thing has to be populated before I take retirement. And therefore, he was contemplating about how is his service going. Nobody was asking him questions. It is not that the ten sons were going and giving him tane. Tumse kya ho raha hai? Bude ho chale ho, kuch ho to raha nahi hai tumse. No, nobody was saying anything to him. Nobody was questioning him. Nobody was doubting him. Nobody was challenging him. But that is a sign of a sincere heart. They constantly self-introspect the way they are contributing to Krishna. Nobody questions them. They are self-inspired. They are self-driven. Because devotional service for a long time cannot be performed if we have to be all the time dependent on encouragement and appreciation. Because there is a limit to what can be given in a devotional environment. How much appreciation can come, how can encouragement can come. At the end of the day, we have to be self-driven. We have to be self-inspired to make that contribution, to give that service to Krishna. So this is the fifth obstacle he's coming through, that is dissatisfaction. He's not satisfied with the results he's producing. But that did not lead him to give up his service. He continued, but he's dissatisfied and he's contemplating, Krishna, maybe I'm not doing sufficiently for you. And because of his sincere desire, suddenly as Brahmaji is sitting, thinking about how to increase this population, these two personalities, they are born from his body, from his chest. One is a male, another is a female, and their Manu and Shatrupa. They come and then they started increasing the population like never before. So, this is interesting because when the Lord saw the sincere endeavors of Brahmaji, ultimately Krishna reciprocated. Not on the first day. It was not that as soon as he created five ignorance and then the four Kumaras disobeyed and Krishna, Brahmaji told Krishna, you handle, I can't do anything else now. If you want to do, create somebody who can do it, I am going. No. He took responsibility, he went through the challenges, he went through the struggles, and ultimately Krishna reciprocated by sending people who were obedient, who perfectly understood his mood, and who were totally competent as well. That was not provided on the day one of the service beginning. Right? Generally, when we begin a project, we think all the infrastructure should be in place, right people should be in place, right resources should be in place, everything should be in place. If that happens, probably we will not grow the way Krishna wants us to grow. Unless there are challenges. So somebody who wants, like somebody said, that if your obstacles is what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. When your eye is not on the goal, then what you see is there are obstacles, so there are challenges, this. Otherwise a person simply sees opportunities to actually enhance his ability to perform that service. But doubt in the service, doubt in the master and self-doubt can actually kill all prospects of making an impact. Brahmaji did not do that. He was confident. This is Krishna's instruction. It has to happen. Let us try. And ultimately, right kind of people came who were there to assist him. And Brahmaji is very pleased with Manu and Shatrupa's services. And I'll end with this, just 2 minutes. And he's saying, this is the way instructions of superiors must be executed. Manu and Shatrupaji are like the original grandsires of this race of humans. Practically everything that descends, you know, kind of the whole human race comes from them. And they are the five sons, the five children. Practically, most of the Bhagavatam is just description of Manu's family. Priyavrat, Uttanpad, Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti. And then the whole thing is being described. So he's saying, Etavatyatma jairavira karya hi apachitir gurau shaktya apramatyar grihyeta sadaram gatamatsarai. He says, Brahmaji is saying, giving insights into, this is his realization after so much struggle, after getting the right kind of people who did, and he's pleased, and he's saying, this is how services should be rendered. Four things. First he says, shaktaya. Shaktya means with full capacity. Not half-hearted. Like Chanakya says, a disciple should be like a lion when he serves his guru. What characteristics of lion? There, when a lion, either it chases a deer or a rabbit, it does it with the same intensity. His intensity is not reduced just by seeing the quantity of service being performed. His intensity is same. He is with full capacity, he performs the service. So that is shaktya. Second, he says, apramatrer grihyeta. Apramatrer grihyeta means full capacity may lead to just raw enthusiasm, like Rudra's. You're just burning everything down. So he says, apramatrer grihyeta means with sanity. That means there is a proper plan for execution. There is a proper thought that goes into execution of that service based on that capacity. Not just enthusiasm. Accompanied with wisdom, accompanied with knowledge, accompanied with the plan he performs. Third is, somebody may have a great plan, somebody may have great capacity, and he might overwork himself. And in process of doing that, he may actually start, burning out even people who are assisting him. Like Gaurang Prabhu was once saying that in Krishna consciousness, sometimes our services become like pressure cooker, about to burst. And then when it bursts, everybody around gets burned also. And till it gets burst, pressure cooker makes very nice whistling sound. Kitna achha seva kar raha hai. Very good. But when it bursts, so our services in the moment should not be like a pressure cooker. We should be like a fountain of water, giving nice sprinkles of coolness around. At the same time, it is very pleasing. Right? Imagine in front of Radha Gopinath, instead of a fountain, we have a pressure cooker. people will be, what is this? But when there is a fountain, it creates such positive vibes and people like to stand, and then different people do different things with the fountain also. When new people come, they see, ye kuch to Bhagwan ke charanon se aa raha hai. They take it like a charnamrit and they drink it, they put it on their head, varieties of things. But people like to get connected. When you see a pressure cooker, you'll not like go and kind of deal with his whistle, thoda nikalo steam, mujhe bhi lagega. No, you don't do all that stuff. You stay away. So when we are performing services, somebody may be very competent, have a great plan, but if he's not doing it with delight, sadharam, Prabhupada translates that with great delight, if he's not doing that, he will not attract cooperation. He will not attract people who can come and assist him. He will not attract people who believe in what he believes. And therefore, he remains a loner in a self-subjugated position where he is not able to contribute the way he wants to. And he basically does a self-fulfilling prophecy. See, I told you, nobody is interested. So I'm not at fault actually. I'm not interested. See, nobody is interested. Nobody else is also coming forward to help. So it has to be done with sadhana, with great delight. And the fourth is, he says, gata matsarai. Even if you are doing with full capacity, with sanity, with great delight, there could be somebody else doing this, doing the same seva and produce better results. Gata matsarai, freedom from envy. No problem. We are not interested in respect. We are not interested in recognition. As Chaitanya Charan Prabhu in his last class was saying, we are not interested in appreciation. We are interested in absorption in Krishna. So he's gata matsarai, he's freed of envy, and therefore he's happy to serve and doesn't compare. And he said, when you have these four things, one can actually continue to serve despite obstacles. So these are the few things which I just wanted to share from this pastime. And then later on, Manu gets teaches many other beautiful teaching example by his own example, gives various wonderful lessons. But that is something we can discuss some other time. So I'll just discuss the five obstacles which Brahmaji faced and through which Shatrupa and Manuji came. First was displeasure. Second was disobedience. Third was disturbance. Fourth is distraction. Fifth is dissatisfaction. But because Brahmaji continued, Krishna reciprocated and sent him all help that was required. Thank you very much. Granthrashmat Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.